Appreciate the prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers. I'm going to begin this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is writing back to the church at Corinth. Paul had stayed a long time at Corinth, and Corinth was a wicked city. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul was concerned for his own life on one occasion. But the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He said, "Fear not, no man shall lay hold on thee." I may not get exactly the quote there, but he said, "For I have much people in this city." And when we think about some of the things that we face in this, in our culture and our country today, it makes us wonder just how many of God's people still here, doesn't it? But I'm satisfied God still has much people in this place. Albeit, they may not be very vocal, but I hope they're still prayerful. Jesus didn't call his apostles to overthrow Rome. He called them to preach the gospel. And if he's called you, he's called you to preach a gospel, maybe not from a pulpit, but with your feet. And if you have an opportunity, use your mouth. But at the very least, if we're living the gospel, if we're showing forth the love of God in our life, if we're being a blessing to others by living according to truth, and bless your hearts, that's a great work. It's a needful work. It's one that we need to take seriously and be attentive to how we're going about it. And be intentional about it. When we wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I'm going to need you today. Would you go with me? Would you help me? Ask him. You know he's pleased to do that. Take him with you. Sometimes we say our prayers and get up and walk away as if we're leaving him behind. We need to take him with us wherever we go, wherever we are, and whatever we're doing. Because if we don't feel good about him being with us from something we're doing, maybe we better leave that off. Take him with us everywhere we go. Now, I hope you found 1 Corinthians chapter 3 by now. Paul is writing to this church, and he says, I'm going to read down to verse 7, but chapter 3 begins, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." The increase. Paul said that twice. What is he talking about? What kind of increase are we talking about? He's talking to a church that needed to grow, a church that needed to mature in their behavior among themselves. There were strifes and divisions there in the church. And he's talking to this congregation, he's writing to them, and telling them they need to grow, all right? And whether it was he or whether it was Apollos that was preaching to them, what's important is God sending the message. And if it's a message that is blessed of the Lord, then we need to receive it and grow from it. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You know, the analogy of planting and watering and tending and growing and bearing fruit, and it's all through the Bible, isn't it? It's a marvelous way, a very accurate way of describing someone being taught, someone receiving it, someone understanding it, someone growing in it, and being able to someday become somewhat of a teacher themselves. Okay? So I want to take that idea of the increase. Now, obviously, what God was blessing Paul and Apollos to preach, and God blessed it, God oftentimes blesses and multiplies the word that's preached, so that in your own experience and in your own need, some of you may receive what's taught in a little different way based on your need and your experience, but it's the same word. And we go through seasons in life, and there's times when we need some messages more than we do others. And so when we stop to think about how that God has blessed and he set up the church, and primarily the way of learning is through the preaching of the word. But we have the blessed privilege of having this word in print for us. We have the blessed privilege of an education so that we can read this word. And we have the blessed privilege of the Holy Spirit that will guide us in our reading and in our study of the word so that we can grow on our own at times. But don't ever think that the time for preaching is past. God has set up his church to be here until Jesus comes back. And we as his church are to honor him by following his word and learning what we can from his word so that we can show the world we belong to Jesus. Whatever situations we're faced in, we need to conduct ourselves in such a way that, bless your hearts, we're a child of God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. And we want to serve him. Let God be true and every man a liar, if necessary. We want to serve the Lord. When the apostles were arrested by the council, the Jewish council, and were beaten and threatened, then their response was, we ought to obey God rather than man. And I'm not preaching rebellion. I'm just saying we need to be firm and standing and living according to this word. Because the pressures, as Brother Jamie prayed this morning, and as we all know, the pressures of this culture, Christianity is being attacked on every side. I mean, it's just really being attacked nowadays. The Christian values that have held some of these people back for so long, they're just chipping away at the foundation. The home, marriage, traditional marriage, one man, one woman. This culture is just trying to blur the stage so that those Christian values no longer have the influence that they once had. And they're making some progress. And it's up to us as God's people to stand up and stand strong and stand firm for what this book says, because this book tells us what pleases the Lord. Now, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Don't assume that just because you came to church and you heard a message that you're going to grow by it. You know, we need to be listening, and I'm particularly thinking about preaching this morning. We need to be listening and with the idea of what kind of seeds are being sown here. And am I receiving that seed in a good heart so that I can bring forth fruit of that seed? You know, that's the whole point, isn't it? God sends a message to the minister. The minister needs to be faithful in preaching that message because God's the one who knows what that congregation needs at that particular time. That's why we need to be at church when the doors are open, because if we are praying that God sends a message, we need to be there to hear it. If he's the one that's sending the message, then bless your hearts, that's the message that's going to be good for us at that point in time. I'm thankful for recordings and for internet and all those kind of things, but God still has a purpose for the local assembly.
Right.
We need to be a part of that, and we need to lay that to heart and hear what the word is that's being sent. I want to read another. Well, let's see. Yeah, I read that. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, Paul is speaking about ministering to the saints. And let me go down to verse, let's see. It's hard to jump into the middle of these, and I don't want to read so much. He's talking about the subject of giving. And we come to verse 8. Well, let me get back to verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Not grudgingly, he says. We should be cheerful. I'm sure you've heard that the root word there for that cheerful giver really has the idea of hilarious. Well, I guess that to some folks that takes it a little bit to the extreme, but it does convey the idea of the cheerfulness of how we should be giving when we think about how much the Lord has given to us. All right? Now, verse 8, and some people would balk at that. Some people would even just balk at the idea of giving, all right? But he goes on to say in verse 8, and God is able. Listen to what God is able to do in light of the fact that we should be giving of ourselves. Because God has blessed and prospered us, and we should be sharing that and giving, all right? So he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Some people look at giving and thinking, well, after I do that, I'm going to have less. Well, this tells us that, listen, God can replace that and more. He's the one that gave it to you to start with. So when it's done in the right way, understanding that God is able to make all grace abound toward us, then all we're doing is sharing some of what God's already given us anyway. All right? Verse 9. Here's where it gets to our subject today. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase, listen, the fruits of your righteousness. Increase the fruits of your righteousness. God giveth the increase. God is the one that blesses. And when we do according to what God says and in the way that he says, then he can bless us. He can make all grace abound toward us. All right? And he says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Again, there's the analogy of sowing and growing a crop and reaping a harvest and then sharing. So who's in control of that? Who's in control of that harvest? Who's in control of that, how much it produces? When God's pleased, he can multiply. When God's pleased, he can multiply it. The increase. The increase. That principle we understand very easily. Perhaps all of us have planted a seed and watched it grow. By the way, Brother Haston, if I plant corn, what's going to come up? You sure? Are you sure? All right. Corn. If I plant corn, corn's going to come up. Let's see, the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So when we're talking about sowing and reaping, someone said one time, if you don't like the harvest, consider what kind of seed you've been planting. Now, that's a simple statement, but it's profound as far as actions are concerned. All right? So, the Bible gives us those illustrations of planting and harvest, what kind of harvest you can expect for what was planted. The idea that God multiplies. He can make all grace abound toward us. Now, David used this in a little different way. He says, thy word, let's see, Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Sounds like he's been doing some planting. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We treasure up the word. If we plant that word in our heart. And bless your hearts, we've got more to draw from when we need that word in our life. Let's keep going with this. In Matthew 13, remember the parable of the sower? Now remember now, David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In Matthew 13, we also find it in Mark's account and also Luke's account, there's the parable of the sower. All right, and from the parable, it's very clear that what's being sown, the seed that's being sown, is the word of God. Okay? But he talks about how that seed is sown in different types of soil. Which he makes it clear that it means the condition of our heart. I've heard people say now that first one and that second one probably weren't children of God. It was that one that brought forth fruit was the child of God. I disagree with that. I think any child of God going through different seasons in their life could be any one of those four. I think any child of God could be in a place in their life where their heart gets hard. And not very receptive to the word of God. I believe there's times when the world crowds into our life. And we give more of our strength to the world than we do attentive to the word of God. Thankfully, there's times in our life when we're receiving that word in a good and honest heart. Like soil that's been prepared, like soil that's been broken up and prepared to receive the seed. And so that seed is able to go in and take root and take deep root and draw the moisture and be able to bear much fruit. And that's certainly the condition that God's word tells us that we as his children ought to be in, a heart that's prepared. But you've got to be intentional about that. You've got to prepare your heart. God's not going to do it for you. He's blessed you in so many ways. He has mercy upon you in so many ways. But he's not going to prepare that heart for it. Now, he does come initially and takes out that hard and stony heart and gives us a heart of flesh. He does work in us by his Spirit, the will and to do of his good pleasure. But he doesn't make us do good works. We have to be intentional about that. So we need to have our heart prepared. In Jeremiah chapter 4, the Lord is speaking to the men of Judah and the men of Jerusalem. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Well, doesn't that sound an awful lot, if you're familiar with the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, doesn't that sound an awful lot like what Jesus talked about? Where Jeremiah says, break up the fallow ground. In other words, there's areas in our life, there's things about our heart that we need to prepare. We need to plow it, if you will, break it up, because sometimes our heart can get cold and hard. But if we're remembering the goodness and mercy of God, God's mercy is oftentimes referred to as like the dew, like rain. And it waters the ground and softens it up. But we need to break up the fallow ground. There's areas in our discipleship that we need to work on a regular basis. We might work on this area. You know, maybe forgiveness is something that we have to work on from time to time. But it's sure easy to leave it off, isn't it? And start thinking about something else. But bless your hearts, we need whatever that fallow ground might be. You know, in farming in recent years, there's been a lot done in the way of no-till farming. You know, don't bother to break up the ground. Just drill it in there and put the seed in there. And I suppose that in some applications, they've made some progress in making that work. But, you know, no-till Christianity is not a good thing. The Lord says, break up your fallow ground. Prepare that heart. Remember the goodness and mercy of God. It's the broken heart that is in the best position to receive the word of God. It's the contrite spirit. It's the humble one, not one that's lifted up in pride with a hard heart. Break up your fallow ground. Sow not among thorns. Both of those ideas were brought to us over in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, where there was some of the seed that fell by the wayside, and the birds came along and snatched it up. And there was others that the seed fell, and the earth was hard. It didn't have much. The seed sprang up right away, but it didn't have much root. And when the heat came, it withered away. There were those that fell among the thorns and was choked. And the things of this world can choke out the love, the affection of God, and the effect of his word. It can choke it out so that it really never gets in. You know, the idea of one being choked is to the point where it doesn't get down to the heart. In that illustration of the soils, he's talking about the heart, the condition of the heart. So in our praying, we need to be asking the Lord, help me to see what fallow ground I need to break up in my heart. Because that's going to keep the seed of God's word from benefiting me. That's going to keep my heart from knowing the kind of increase that there could be if the word of God was received in that good and honest heart. And we're talking about the Word of God. And so some of that preparation that we need as we begin, as we go about our discipleship, I want to notice several verses that you'll find over in the Proverbs. Some preparations for that increase. You know, like I said a moment ago, don't assume that we're going to grow from what we hear. It depends upon the condition of our heart as to whether we even receive it, whether we remember it, whether we appreciate it. And regular reading of the Word of God will help us to appreciate the preached Word more, because you'll recognize it, you can listen on a different level, you can apply it to whatever ways in your life is needed. All right? So preparation. And I'm going to say this is foundational preparation for all of us. Some of you have done this a long time ago. Maybe all of us have. But I want to notice in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs. If we're talking about the Word of God being received into our heart, and us enjoying the increase that we could have from having heard the Word, having treasured it up in our heart, and benefiting from it. There's some starting points. Proverbs chapter 1. I'll just read verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, if we're going to receive the Word, if we're going to grow in it, and if you go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, when he talks about all those things that we are to add to our faith, okay, knowledge is right there. Peter had already talked about it before he even got to those verses. The knowledge made partakers. But we need to guard our heart and keep it from getting into that hard and packed condition that requires that breaking up of the fallow ground. That ground that hasn't been used for a while. Our heart that maybe hasn't been exercised in certain areas of our life that we need to be exercising so that we can serve the Lord like we should. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we need to ask ourselves, are we desiring more knowledge of God? If we're not, we're acting foolishly. Because if we're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to be desiring to know more about Him. To grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. All right? Knowledge. Understanding is when we've been able to receive the knowledge into our heart, right? I keep using heart. We might prefer to think about our mind, but we're talking about the spiritual realm. We're talking about in the sense that David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. We know that it had to go in his mind. We know he had to think about it. We know he had to understand it. But spiritually speaking, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. That innermost part of our being, our spiritual being. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then understanding is when we're able to receive that knowledge and lay hold upon it. Wisdom. Wisdom comes when we can take that and apply it. Make use of it. When I see someone acting wisely because they've made a good choice or they've responded to someone in a godly way, then that's wisdom. That's wisdom that's coming out because they've received the knowledge, they have the understanding of it, and they're able to apply it. All right? How about discretion? These are words that you'll find often in the Proverbs. It's an area that we need to grow in. We need the knowledge. We need to understand it. We need the wisdom of how to apply it. And then discretion, just to give you a definition, is choosing and behaving and speaking right. When I say right, I mean according to the way it would be pleasing to the Lord. Whatever the circumstances are, we're making choices, we're behaving, and we're speaking in a godly way. We're able to have discretion about how we're living our life. And it's based upon this knowledge and understanding and wisdom. All right? Now, I'm talking in general terms now. But when we're talking about the Word of God as the seed that's planted in our heart, that we're talking about those individual principles that we encounter in the Word of God, that as it's teaching us godliness and teaching us the ways of righteousness, if we can treasure them up in our heart, if we can plant them in our heart, if we can receive them in a good and honest heart, then you can expect that God's going to bless us to be able to bear fruit of the Spirit later based upon that seed that was planted. If it's talking about righteousness and shunning the ways of the world, like the book of Proverbs has so much to say about, then when we treasure up that word and when we're confronted with unrighteousness in this world, we've got something to guide us and say, God wouldn't be pleased with that. You know what I'm talking about. But the seed that oftentimes is used as an analogy is our individual principles that will help us to understand the will of God and what would be pleasing to Him for us to follow. All right? Now, based on those general concepts that I just spoke to you, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Solomon says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, it's not choked out by the things of the world. It's not a heart that's so hard that the seed can't get in there. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. When you read that, you should be asking, do I desire to know more the knowledge of God so that I can have more wisdom? When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Wow. I like that. I mean, if I'm living my life and I want to live in such a way that I'm going to be walking close to the Lord and He's going to keep me in the way. Discretion. In other words, making those right choices. behaving and speaking according to that wisdom that we've been able to treasure up in our heart. That's what's going to preserve us. Taking heed to the Word of God and walking in His pleasure is what's going to preserve us. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. If you understand why those ways of the world are not good for us, then it keeps us from following after them. And then, and I'm not going to read all these verses, but right after this, He says to deliver thee, verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of evil men. There are people out there that don't have an interest in the things of God. There are people out there that only want to follow after their flesh. If we know how, if we know what's pleasing to the Lord, and if we know that we need to avoid those things, it'll keep us. And it will deliver us from the way of evil men. And then you keep going down to verse 16, it says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. All right, so there's instruction here for young men. There's instruction here for young women. The Word of God is good for all of this, isn't it? That we can treasure these things up in our heart that we might not sin against the Lord. I touched on the fact that whatever seed we sow, that's what we're going to reap. Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Try not to bounce around too much here, but I want to get these verses. Galatians chapter 6. Beginning of verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Life everlasting. As we prepare our hearts, as we grow in the Word of God, treasured up in our hearts so that we don't sin against God, so that we grow in wisdom and, grow in knowledge and understanding and develop that wisdom and develop that discretion, it'll keep us. Not only will it keep us, but we then are prepared, or we have prepared ourselves so that we can then share that wisdom with others. And hopefully, others will receive it. You know, they may not receive it right away, but hopefully they'll receive it and benefit it from it as well. All right? So this seed that's sown, the increase is what we're looking for, aren't we? We desire that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and enjoy that increase. All right? Now, I mentioned these principles, the seed at least, are like the principles of the Word of God. So when you read a verse of Scripture like 2 Timothy 3:16, which says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works, what that tells you is that the Word of God is a thorough furnisher for whatever good works we need to perform. The Word of God. So we need to be reading it, right? We need to be treasuring it up in our heart so that we can grow in wisdom and discretion, all right? But you come back to the same thing. We have to prepare our heart in order to be able to receive it like we should. Now, Galatians. I was in Galatians 6 talking about sowing and reaping, but if you back up in chapter 5, you find those verses of Scripture that speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. And so oftentimes we talk about this bearing fruit, being able to treasure up the Word and bearing the fruit from it. So oftentimes we speak of Galatians 5:22 and verse 23, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. I think I left out faith. Okay, there's nine of them. All right? we normally talk about those things. And notice how he starts with love and then joy and peace. And this message to the churches of Galatia was written to people who had heard the gospel and had rejoiced in the gospel. And then there were some that came in after Paul was there and taught them that, yes, that's true, but you also have to keep circumcision. And so Paul had to teach them, we're no longer talking about this outward keeping of the law. We're talking about keeping it from the heart. And so the fruit of the Spirit, when you look at that, it starts with love. And I contend that every one of those nine words that are used to represent fruit of the Spirit are all extensions of love. Because when you get to patience and long-suffering, if you don't love somebody, you're not going to be very patient or long-suffering with them. And so there's just an outgrowth of what starts with love. All right? Then you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, where he talks about add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. There's seven there, if I got them all. There's seven of them there, and they end up with love. All right? But there again, if you look closely, all of it's about love. When it says add to your faith virtue, which is courage. Courage to stand. Courage to be faithful to God. Courage to be following, to hide the word of God in your heart and stand upon that regardless of what our culture is teaching us. And the best way you can develop courage to do that is to increase in your love for God. God's love towards you will never be any greater. But our response to Him, our love for Him and to Him, because it's by Him, but our love to Him and for Him can greatly increase. The more we think about the goodness and mercy of God, the more we think about how He saved us from our sins, the more we think about how He takes care of us each day, the more we think about what we have to look forward to in heaven, the more we think about Him and His goodness and His love and His mercy and His power and His glory, the more love we have for Him. Because faith is energized by love. So you add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. The more we know about Him and the knowledge temperance and all those things that He talks about there being added to faith is still all a part of love. But you know, there's a lot of subjects that we don't always use the word love and the word faith. There's a lot of things that the Word teaches us. So when we've got those principles planted in our heart, when our heart has been prepared to receive the Word of God, and when we're treasuring it up, and when we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do you think we can obey His Word better?
Absolutely.
Obeying His Word, obedience. When we've got that in us to guide us and direct us and to know the blessings of it and the joy in it, and the peace that comes from it, yes, it helps us. It helps us understand what John said when he said, His commandments are not grievous. It's the best thing we can have. It's the best path we can take. It's the best help we can have to be walking faithfully with our God. You know, what is it? Deuteronomy 28, I believe it is. That a long chapter, the first third of that chapter is, if thou wilt observe to do all that I've commanded thee, that I'll bless you in your fields, I'll bless you in your home, I'll bless you in your herds, I'll bless you in your cities, I'll bless you in your storehouses. The Lord just says He'll bless them and bless them and bless them if they would observe to do His word. Obey. But if not, then all those things that would be a blessing to them, he said, would turn to be a curse. And he takes the last two-thirds of that chapter to describe just what all that would be like. But if we treasure up this word, and if we follow that word, and bless your hearts, we can enjoy his peace and his love. So, obeying his word. How about trusting God?
Absolutely.
When we have that experience of knowing that he's faithful and keeping in memory the times that he's delivered us and taken care of us and made promises to us, and we know he's faithful that promised.
Absolutely.
And he's got the ability to bring it to pass. Yes, then we can trust him more, can't we?
Absolutely.
When we've treasured that up in our heart and helped and walked it away, that would be pleasing. How about leaning on him? I think in Brother Jamie's prayer this morning, he talked about a heavy burden that he was given to the Lord. Now what Peter said, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. We can lean on him. He's the one with the strength. You talk about broad shoulders, he's got it. We're weak. And not only to know that we can depend upon him or lean upon him, but how quickly we lean upon him. Why we carry our burdens when we can give them to the Lord? I know that giving them to the Lord doesn't remove the problems. We still have things to deal with, but it certainly helps us when we understand that we can lean upon him and depend upon him and trust him to do that which he has already promised us to do. And there's so much more. Walking with him. Taking him with you when you go. Keeping him with you at all, in the forefront of your mind. You know, there's verses back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, I believe it is, where he talks about when you know, keep him as the frontlets of your eyes. The Jews had something they called a mezuzah. Some of you may know more about that than I do. But my understanding is it's something that had some of the words of God on it. And they would have it on their doorpost. So that when they would leave their house, they would stop and rub their hand over it and remind themselves of what it said. And in a sense, they carry that knowledge of those things with them as they go.
Right.
And when they would come back in their house, they would pause at that doorpost and put their hand up there again and remind themselves again. I like that. You know, you don't have to have whatever way works for you, whatever you can do to help you to remember the word of God, the promises of God, the power of God, his love for you and his ability to know your needs better than you do yourselves, and trust him that he knows what he's doing and he's always on time. See, when you remind yourself of all those kinds of things, bless your hearts, you can be growing in grace. Your trouble, your discipleship will be stronger each day. I'm not saying you're not going to have any troubles. That's not truth.
No.
We're going to have troubles. But when we can have the Lord with us in our troubles, it's a whole lot better.
Amen.
It's a whole lot better. Our mind to be more stable. Our heart will be more stable. Our emotions be more stable. Because we're not depending on ourselves. We're depending on the one who's able. If I was dependent on myself, I'd be a basket case. Because I don't have what I need. But God does. And he loves me. And he delights in me asking for his help. That's what we need. For stability. And sanity sometimes. We need that. And you know it even helped with your finances. Oh, he's gone to preaching. Health and wealth, hadn't he? No, listen. If you're thinking like you should. And you're making decisions like you should. Based upon godliness, It'll help you.
That's right. Amen.
It'll help you. I'm not saying you're going to grow a big bank account. I'm simply saying it's going to help you with what you have. And I've already told you that God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So when we're walking in the way that's pleasing to Him, He can bless us. And He does bless us. Remember the prophet Haggai? Read Haggai lately? You know, remember the message from Haggai? The message is, consider your ways. And he talks about how that you looked for much and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, he says, I did blow upon it. In other words, it didn't amount to what you thought it should have. Why? He said, consider your ways. Now, that's a complex subject, but that's the prescription here. Consider your ways. Lay to heart what we're doing. Think about it. Are we doing things for the glory of God? Are we desiring more knowledge of Him so that we can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Or are we too involved in the world? We're always going to have responsibilities in the world. We're always going to have things that's going to claim our attention. We just need to put the priority on remembering the Lord first and serving Him as we should. And then we can go about those responsibilities in a way that's more pleasing unto Him. Time's gotten away from us. Let me just come down to, there was a time when the apostles came to the Lord and said, Lord, increase our faith. He had been teaching a lesson, and they realized they didn't have what they needed. They realized it's going to take more than what we got. Lord, increase our faith. Now, you remember what he was teaching about? I'll tell you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive?
70 times.
And they were astonished. Wait a minute. The rabbis only said 7 times. I like their idea. No. The Lord said, no, not 7 times. 70 times 7. Lord, increase our faith. Do you ever read the Word of God? You get that idea?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. You mean that's what you would please you for me to do? Lord, increase my faith. Sometimes we encounter that in the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
Well, John tells us his commandments are not grievous. So if we have that kind of reaction, then we've got too much of ourselves somewhere between us and what the Lord's Word says. So we need to break up some fallow ground. We need to dig into the Word of God. We need to treasure up more of His Word. We need to walk more closely with Him. And we need to come to that place where we say, not my will, but thine be done. Then we'll begin to see some increase in our understanding, in our wisdom, in our discretion that will deliver us from the things in this world from which we need delivering. And it happens every day, doesn't it? May God help us to prepare the heart, the soil of our heart, so that whether we're hearing preaching or whether we're sitting and reading the Word of God or whether we're listening to something on the radio, whatever the case might be, that we can receive it in a good and honest heart. That we can say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And walk more closely with him and enjoy more fellowship of the Spirit, because we're walking in the Word and we're trusting that the Lord knows what he's doing. May God help us to follow him more closely, love him more dearly, and receive his word and observe to do all that he commands us to do. May God bless you is our prayer.
Amen.